Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 518th edition of SDG, 2020 Crisis Update number 32. And folks, later in this message, after we dive into all the forbidden truth that the establishment doesn't want you to know, we're going to tie it into one question. A question that all of us have to answer. Which do you choose to live by, fear or faith? Now, I've been saying this since day one. This, folks, is a PSYOP. And remember, in PSYOPs, fear is used. And fear is nothing but false evidence about reality. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So stay tuned to learn how we can choose to live by faith and not by fear in these crazy, crazy times. And the bottom line, as always, folks, is that as believers, we're not in this world, okay, living, or part of it, I should say. We are just passing through as God's people. So let's refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream fake news we'll never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. Now, folks, we've been doing this for about the last, 4 or 5 months? We start with a review of something from the past. And let's look at something we talked about just last week, when we played Dr. Naomi Wolf's interview from Fox News. Now, remember, Naomi Wolf's the author of the book, and this is a powerful book, The End of America, A Letter Warning to a Young Patriot. And it warns, she's warning there, she's a CEO of a big high-tech company right now. But remember, she's a lefty, and she's seeing it. And she's warning that the United States is on the path towards tyranny. And she lists 10 steps in her books that all tyrannical governments, whether fascistic or communistic or anything else in between, these would-be tyrants on both ends of the political paradigm, the sandbox we get to play in, this false left-right, red-blue narrative, they all use it. Italy did back in the 20s, Germany in the 30s, East Germany in the 50s, Chile in the 70s. China in the 80s, and right now it's worldwide, folks. These 10 steps march any culture, any society into tyranny. And it's a terrifying prospect, folks. It truly is. And it's both an internal and external threat. Now, can anyone say scamdemic? Now, it may be a real threat, okay? Or it could just be an imagined one. And I think it's a little bit of both here. They've hybridized it. Yes, people get sick and people are dying, but that happens all the time. And if you look at the statistics, there may be a few more than normal, but you have those anomalies over the years all the time. But it's not this big scamdemic that they're all making you out to think it is. It's a hyped up threat. Now, from 2000 on, that threat was terrorism. Okay, and they used the justification for stripping us of all these rights we have under God, unalienable rights enumerated by the Bill of Rights. They're stripping them from us in the name of the war on terror has now shifted to an even more elusive enemy, the invisible enemy, as Trump used to call it, the China virus, And unlike the countless other wars we've had, today's enemies of state, they include you and me. If we don't have our face mask on, if we didn't get triple vaxxed now, I guess that's going to be the new definition of fully vaxxed. And by the way, folks, have you heard what they're doing now? They're not counting you as fully vaxxed until you had your second vaccination and 14 days have transpired. Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you die anytime before that 14th day after your second jab, you die as an unvaccinated death and it doesn't even get noted as a vaccine death. And now I hear they're actually going to start classifying people without the third booster after October 1st as unvaxxed. So when all these people with two jabs start to die, it's going to be unvaxxed deaths. You see how they manipulate? Do you see how they lie? Today, the enemies of the state are you and me, people that think, people that say, wait a minute. You know, didn't the Biden regime just define domestic terrorists as people who simply disagree with the government and their narrative on all this? You know, if you say, hey, this isn't making sense, you become a terrorist. Opposition to COVID majors is actually in the Department of Homeland Security's list of potential terroristic threats. So last week, we played the March 28th, 2021 interview on Fox News with Naomi Wolf. And what I'd like to do is just call that clip up here and just play it for you again. It's about 5 minutes, folks, but it's well worth a re-listen.
First, it was endless war. Now they want endless war on COVID. You think they're just going to let you get back to normal life and live it all in freedom after this? Not a chance. They love the power. They love the control. They love being the center of attention. They're not giving this up. Now they want vaccine passports to control who can go where, when. In England, they're talking about a government vaccine certificate to go to the pub. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo is handing out contracts to IBM for a Big Brother health passport system. In New Jersey, Rutgers University won't let students into classes without a vaccine certificate. And now, a bunch of power-crazed doctors just argued in the Wall Street Journal that we need a digital rapid detection system, integrating information from all sources, including routine reports to health authorities, from medical providers, data from contact tracing databases, digital surveillance apps. Just today, the Biden administration said they're working towards developing a new nationwide vaccine passport standard. On and on it goes, a nightmare, Orwellian infrastructure of control, an unprecedented, undemocratic power grab by big business, big government, big bureaucracy. No, no, no. Here to react, author of The End of America, a letter of warning to a young patriot, Dr. Naomi Wolf. So excited that you could join us tonight. I'm just going to hand it over to you. What do you make of what we're about to see?
I mean, thank you, Steve. I'm really happy to be here. I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. And what that means is it can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you everywhere you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included. This has already happened in Israel.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, we're hearing from activists that it's a two-tier society and that basically activists are ostracized and surveilled continually. It's the end of civil society, and they're trying to roll it out around the world. And it is absolutely so much more than a vaccine pass. It is, it I cannot stress enough that it has the power to turn off your life or to turn on your life, to let you engage in society or be marginalized. And by the way, the last thing I'll say, IBM has a horrible history with Nazi Germany. Its subsidiary created a kind of precursor of this with punch cards that allowed the Nazis to keep lists of, again, a two-tiered society, Aryan and Jew, in such a way that they could round up Jews, round up dissidents, round up opposition leaders very, very quickly. It's catastrophic. It cannot be allowed to continue.
Wow, that was so powerful, such great information, and so important for us to understand. And you really made me see it in its proper context. And the other thing it reminds me of course, is the Chinese regime today and the social credit system that they're using for exactly the kind of purposes that you're describing. Let's talk about how to fight this. I mean, we're completely in agreement about how appalling this is. What do you think we can do?
Well, you're exactly right, Steve, to mention China. I mean, how do you keep a billion people under the thumb of a totalitarian regime? The CCP can find any dissident within 5 minutes, and that can happen here literally within months. How do we fight it? Well, that's a longer conversation, but I've launched on my own platform a kind of freedom movement for left and right to come together to run people for state senate, to run people against tyrannical governors like Gavin Newsom, my own governor Cuomo, who's rolling out this tyrannical pass, you know, under emergency powers, and to really unite to take back our Constitution. But we have to bring lawsuits, and there have to be investigations. I mean, this violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. It violates HIPAA. It violates the First Amendment. It violates the Fourth Amendment. And we have to call up an army of lawyers and fund them to, you know, bring every lawsuit, but also just refuse to comply.
This is brilliant. I'm so excited to hear you speak. Okay, this will be a longer conversation. I would love to have you back, and let's get really into it, because this is serious. This is coming down, just as we reported just today, the Biden administration is moving forward with this, so we've got to fight it. Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
So there you have it, a Clinton leftist warning us about this coming control grid, this coming totalitarian state. And this control grid is, as we learned from a former Bush administrative undersecretary of HUD, Catherine Austin Fitz, this control grid is being driven by 5G. It's going to be launched in the Federal Reserve cities all around the country, and I think there's 10 or 12 of those. And isn't it curious, but the mostly peaceful riots from last summer, they all occurred in or around Federal Reserve cities. And then big globalists came in and snatched up all the fire damage property, and they're going to build their control grid system, the method on how they're going to make people do what they want them to do with their digital currency, their COVID passport. You don't jump when they say jump. They shut you off, folks. You can't go and buy groceries. You can't even get access to public transportation or whatever else. This must be stopped. What I'd like to do right now is play the clip from Catherine Austin Fitz's interview on the High Wire a few weeks ago, where she's talking about the going direct reset, the smart grid, and the vaccine passports. About a 2-minute and 53-second clip.
...by what is happening now, which is called the going direct reset, which is a plan voted on by the central bankers in August 2019, and the takedown of the economy, including the pandemic, rolled out as a result of the going direct reset.
Wow.
If you look at that group, they have decided to radically centralize control into a much smaller group of people, and that's one of the reasons why what you're watching is a destruction of the small business economy in a way, and a printing of money by the central bank, so basically the private equity firms can engage in a shopping spree to pick it all up cheap. Which is why during the videos you were showing, the you know, the billionaires are getting richer and richer and rich. What you're watching is what George H.W. Bush used to call consolidating the wealth into tighter and righter hands. So this is a plan. It is being engineered. I'm not saying it's 100, you know, they kind of make it up as they go. But if you look at who's responsible at the very top of the global financial system, they are in the room. If you look at the list of participants for the vote for the Going Direct and the people who put the plan together working for BlackRock, you can see a lot of those players. Now, you know, if you look at the whole Going Direct, to get the control, the financial control system into place with the passports, you need the pharmaceutical industry, you need the tech industry, you need the telecommunications industry. It's all part of putting together the smart grid, because the smart grid is the hardware and the infrastructure for this financial control grid. So it's a lot of people, and there is no doubt that the U.S. government and the central banks have been absolutely instrumental in creating massive incentives to get everybody to play. That's the magic secret here, Del, and it's something you hear a lot sort of embedded in your interviews and presentations at the High Wire. We're building the prison. You know, in a highly centralized system, Mr. Global is not a lot of people, and yet if you look at who's building the train tracks for the control grid, it's all of us,
right?
Which means, you know, we have the power to stop banking with them. We have the power to stop associating with them. We can snub them on the street. We don't have to buy their stocks. We don't have to go work in the companies. You know, you can make a list of the 20 companies who are the most instrumental in making this all go. We don't have to support them.
And so when
if
you
5 to 10% of the people just walked out tomorrow, and we have to do it before the vaccine passports go into effect, because once you get CBDCs and vaccine passports, essentially you've got at a very central level, as Mr. Carson's implied, you've got complete control.
Did you hear that, folks? Complete control. And part of it is the fact that most of us use our debit and credit cards now. We don't use cash. That's one thing you can start doing. In fact, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty. But just take a look at what you spend in an average week. So you spend $50 on gasoline. You've got $120 on groceries. You spend $50 on this and that. So 50 plus 50 plus 120, you're at $220. Make sure you always have $250 in your wallet. Just take it out of your bank account and start paying by cash. First of all, it stops traceability for you. Secondly, it creates a demand on the cash system, and the Federal Reserve banks are going to have to start moving money around. Let's make their job a little harder, okay? Even though it's funny money, even though it's paper money, at least we're not using their digital currency through the Mac cards and the debit cards. Folks, we can make a difference. Remember, there are 350 million of us, and there's maybe 10,000 of them. We have to do this, folks. Now, in the Back to the Future episode last week, we covered this concept of mass psychosis. We played a clip from a very excellent video called Mass Psychosis. And this week, I'd like to play a longer clip out of it where this particular author covers this concept of totalitarianism. And he reads a lot of quotes from the book I recommend you read, The Rape of the Mind by Jupp Mierlo, a Danish psychiatrist who studied the effect of the Nazi mental torture on prisoner of war victims. So listen to this clip, 8 minutes and 44 seconds, and I hope it helps the Lord open your eyes.
But in the modern era, it is the mass psychosis of totalitarianism that appears to be the greatest threat. Totalitarianism, writes Arthur Verslewis, is the modern phenomenon of total centralized state power, coupled with the obliteration of individual human rights. In the totalized state, there are those in power, and there are the objectified masses, the victims. In a totalitarian society, the population is divided into two groups, the rulers and the ruled, and both groups undergo a pathological transformation. The rulers are elevated to an almost godlike status, which is diametrically opposed to our nature as imperfect beings who are easily corrupted by power. The masses, on the other hand, are transformed into the dependent subjects of these pathological rulers and take on a psychologically regressed and childlike status. Hannah Arendt, one of the 20th century's preeminent scholars of this form of rule, called totalitarianism an attempted transformation of human nature itself. But this attempted transformation only turns sound minds into sick minds, for as the Dutch medical doctor who studied the mental effects of living under totalitarianism wrote, There is in fact much that is comparable between the strange reactions of the citizens of totalitarianism and their culture as a whole, on the one hand, and the reactions of the sick schizophrenic on the other. The social transformation that unfolds under totalitarianism is built upon and sustained by delusions. For only deluded men and women regress to the childlike status of obedient and submissive subjects and hand over complete control of their lives to politicians and bureaucrats. Only a deluded ruling class will believe that they possess the knowledge, wisdom, and acumen to completely control society in a top-down manner. And only when under the spell of delusions would anyone believe that a society composed of power-hungry rulers, on the one hand, and a psychologically regressed population, on the other, will lead to anything other than mass suffering and social ruin. But what triggers the psychosis of totalitarianism? As was explored in the previous video of this series, the mass psychosis of totalitarianism begins in a society's ruling class. The individuals that make up this class, be it politicians, bureaucrats, or crony capitalists, are very prone to delusions that augment their power, and no delusion is more attractive to the power-hungry than the delusion that they can and should control and dominate a society. When a ruling elite becomes possessed by a political ideology of this sort, be it communism, fascism, or technocracy, the next step is to induce a population into accepting their rule by infecting them with the mass psychosis of totalitarianism. This psychosis has been induced many times throughout history, and as Mirlu explains, it is simply a question of reorganizing and manipulating collective feelings in the proper way. The general method by which the members of a ruling elite can accomplish this end is called menticide, with the etymology of this word being a killing of the mind. And as Mirlu further explains, menticide is an old crime against the human mind and spirit, but systematized anew. It is an organized system of psychological intervention and judicial perversion through which a ruling class can imprint their own opportunistic thoughts upon the minds of those they plan to use and destroy. Priming a population for the crime of menticide begins with the sowing of fear. When an individual is flooded with negative emotions, such as fear or anxiety, he or she is very susceptible to a descent into the delusions of madness. Threats, real, imagined, or fabricated, can be used to sow fear, but a particularly effective technique is to use waves of terror. Under this technique, the sowing of fear is staggered with periods of calm. But each of these periods of calm is followed by the manufacturing of an even more intense spell of fear. And on the process goes. Or as Mirlu writes, each wave of terrorizing creates its effects more easily after a breathing spell than the one that preceded it, because people are still disturbed by their previous experience. Morality becomes lower and lower, and the psychological effects of each new propaganda campaign become stronger. It reaches a public already softened up. While fear primes a population for menticide, the use of propaganda to spread misinformation and to promote confusion with respect to the source of the threats and the nature of the crisis helps to break down the minds of the masses. Government officials and their lackeys in the media can use contradictory reports, nonsensical information, and even blatant lies, as the more they confuse, the less capable will a population be to cope with the crisis and diminish their fear in a rational and adaptive manner. Confusion, in other words, heightens the susceptibility of a descent into the delusions of totalitarianism. Or as Mirlu explains, logic can be met with logic, while illogic cannot. It confuses those who think straight. The big lie and monotonously repeated nonsense have more emotional appeal than logic and reason. While the people are still searching for a reasonable counterargument to the first lie, the totalitarians can assault them with another. Never before in history have such effective means existed to manipulate a society into the psychosis of totalitarianism. Smartphones and social media, television and the internet, all in conjunction with algorithms that quickly censor the flow of unwanted information, allow those in power to easily assault the minds of the masses. What is more, The addictive nature of these technologies means that many people voluntarily subject themselves to the ruling elite's propaganda with a remarkable frequency. Modern technology, explains Mirlu, teaches man to take for granted the world he is looking at. He takes no time to retreat and reflect. Technology lures him on, dropping him into its wheels and movements. No rest, no meditation, no reflection, no conversation. The senses are continually overloaded with stimuli. Man doesn't learn to question his world anymore. The screen offers him answers, ready-made. But there is a further step the would-be totalitarian rulers can take to increase the chance of a totalitarian psychosis. And this is to isolate the victims and to disrupt normal social interactions. When alone and lacking normal interactions with friends, family, and coworkers, an individual becomes far more susceptible to delusions for several reasons. Firstly, they lose contact with the corrective force of the positive example, for not everyone is tricked by the machinations of the ruling elite, and the individuals who see through the propaganda can help free others from the menticidal assault. If, however, isolation is enforced, the power of these positive examples greatly diminishes. But another reason that isolation increases the efficacy of menticide is because, like many other species, human beings are more easily conditioned into new patterns of thought and behavior when isolated. Whereas Mirlu explains with regards to the physiologist Ivan Pavlov's work on behavioral conditioning, Pavlov made another significant discovery. The conditioned reflex could be developed most easily in a quiet laboratory with a minimum of disturbing stimuli. Every trainer of animals knows this from his own experience. Isolation and the patient repetition of stimuli are required to tame wild animals. The totalitarians have followed this rule. They know that they can condition their political victims most quickly if they are kept in isolation. Alone, confused, and battered by waves of terror, a population under an attack of menticide descends into a...
So there you have it. I would have loved to have it go on for the rest of the clip, but there's another 5 minutes there, folks. I think that gave you a flavor. So what do they use to control us? They use fear. False evidence about reality, folks. And like he said, logic can be met with logic, but a logic cannot. And then how about the comment about the smartphones? You know, put a little bit of entertainment on it, make them look cool and flashy, have some good commercials, and who would have ever thunk 50 years ago that the masses would line up and pay $1,000 or more to get their little confinement and control device? That device tracks you, folks. The device knows every movement you make. Yesterday, or the day before, when the remains of the hurricane hit our area, I'm over at the shop working before I went up to the plant, and all of a sudden my phone is hijacked. I'm listening to a podcast, and all of a sudden my phone is hijacked, and they're warning me about flash flooding. They literally took over my phone. And then when I finally got the thing recovered, my podcast was wiped out, and I didn't even know where I was in it. And the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that's not your phone. That's your electronic caller. So that question I opened the show with, how will you choose to live? By fear or by faith? Folks, are you seeing through this propaganda? If so, share this truth with your friends. We, the people, need to wake up. There's 350 million of us. There's a couple thousand of them. We have to stand up in mass, left and right, straight and gay, and white. I don't care who you are, folks. We all love freedom. Who doesn't? We need to stand up and say no more. No one's going to come and rescue us. Trump's not riding in on a white horse to help us, folks. We need to say no more. So where does this all take us? Well, this leads us to this crazy clip that was out there on the internet this week from this butch-looking military brat who basically is the foot soldier for the totalitarians. This is the full clip, and there's also a shorter clip that's been all around, but this is about a minute and 50 seconds long. Listen to this army beach threaten you and me, we the people. Listen to this.
What's up, TikTok? So this happened.
This is a message for our United States military, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the Navy, Coast Guard, SpaceX.
SpaceX? You mean the program that was made by the guy who makes Teslas? Space Force, my guy. Moving right along.
Everybody that considers himself a person that would defend this fucking country, where are you?
I'm at work, defending this fucking country.
We thought the military took an oath to protect this country. They took an oath to protect our Constitution. That includes enemies, foreign and domestic.
We did take that oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, domestic. Like a woman who decided to drive her vehicle through a National Guard vaccination tent. But keep that same energy.
Where are you, military? Because if you're leaving it up to the American people, you need to let us know, because everybody's on the edge of their seat. You've got millions and millions of gun owners that are ready to walk out and just start a complete fucking bloodbath. And we're beginning to wonder where our fucking military...
I mean, I'm no expert, but that sounded like a terroristic threat. Because not you talking about a bunch of gun owners going out and starting a bloodbath. Like, have you never heard of the Insurrection Act? There's reasons why the military doesn't deploy within the U.S. And if they did, your little good old boy system is not going to fare well for you. Understand that if active duty military actually get deployed within the United States, that weapon is not just pointed at other people, other countries. It's pointed at you. If you do not get in your house when I tell you to, you become the enemy. Martial law. You know, where your rights get curtailed. You don't have all those same freedoms that the Constitution guarantees at that point. So be careful what you wish for. And stop opining about things you don't understand. Okay, bye!
Wow. Did you hear her? Folks, like the lyrics from that song, The Twilight Zone, that I mentioned last week, you'll know it when the bullet hits the bone. And, you know, the arrogance in that woman's voice, the contempt, the foreign and domestic enemies, yes, that's real. But it's not that woman driving her car through a COVID vaccine checkpoint or whatever it was. No, the enemies are the ones in the halls of Congress, folks. And her little threat against the good old boy network, I don't think she has any idea how well organized that group is. Folks, I was an intelligence officer in the Second Continental Army of the Republic back when I served in CAGI. And it's very well organized, very well structured, many former military. And these people are as mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. But we need to use the methods of Gandhi, and we need to use civil disobedience, and we need to avoid arms and any kind of violence, because that'll be used as an excuse. Now, there may come a day when that happens, and I stress again, do not fire the first shot. So anyways, I hope you have a good picture of what was happening last week. And now, as always, it's time for our sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, we start with the coronavirus heist.
It's a scam, damn it. They call it the great equal life. And they were all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
Been saying for over a year now, folks, just say no to all of this. People are as mad as hell, and they aren't taking it anymore. They're pissed off, and they've had it. There's stories about school board meetings all across the country. Parents are there because of the crazy agendas they're pushing on our children, from all of this LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, to critical race theory, to leftist ideology, to the face masks. Did you hear this clip of the angry mom? She was at a school board meeting, and she basically laid it on the line. She's fed up with the back and forth rule changes over masks. And, you know, Terry was in for her third year cancer check, and praise the Lord, she was healed. You know, I have that testimony out there. That's a whole nother story. But anyways, her surgeon, this is a top colorectal surgeon in the country. He's a teaching surgeon, one of the best. He looked at my wife and he said, "You don't have to wear that face mask." This is during the exam. I was there. He said, "They don't do anything." There's a study out. It's called the Danish study. And he went and explained it. We covered that here on the show. I high-fived them, and we continued with the exam. But the point is, folks, that people are fed up. So this mother back at the school board meeting, Carrie Prejean-Bowler, told the Encinitas school board, it's out near San Diego, her children and many others will refuse to wear face masks at school this week. Listen to this 2-minute clip.
My name is Carrie Bowler. You see my shirt, it says Mama, and I'm a mama bear. And I know there's a lot of mama bears here tonight. And no one's going to mess with our cubs.
Right.
So you know. I'm a resident of Encinitas, born and raised San Diegan, and tonight I'm simply here to tell you to unmask our children. We're done begging. In fact, we're done asking for permission.
That's right.
We are going to be unmasking our children today.
That's right.
The pandemic is over. The parents are done. We're done asking you, public servants, for permission. We are done. You can all wear your masks. In fact, you can wear 2 masks and 3 masks. You can wear gloves. You can have plexiglass. You can do whatever you need to do to keep you safe. But we, the parents, believe we have a choice for our children. And I don't know who you think you are that you think that you have more of a say than us, the parents, and our doctors. I don't know who any of you think you are. I really don't.
Right.
It ends today.
That's right.
We are declaring our freedom tonight. We do not consent to the lies, fear-mongering, and abuse. You all know it's abuse. This is tyrannical leadership, poor leadership. None of you are willing to stand up for our children. This is why we are all here tonight, because we're fed up. We're done asking permission. We're done playing games. The pandemic is over. We are done, Andre. We're done.
That's right.
See the chairs that you're sitting in? We own those chairs. See these lights? We pay for the lights, not you. And I want to let you know, Emily, you're up in 2022. Greg, you're up in 2022. Marla, you're up in 2022. And Jody, you're up in 2024. I know that myself, I would love to run for school board. And I know many, many mothers who are coming and replace all of you. So I'm going to promise you tonight that I will campaign against you. I will fundraise against you. And I will make sure that none of you ever serve in a public space ever again.
That's right.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore."
That's all it'll take, folks. We the people, 350 million strong, stand up and say no more. Stop allowing their divisive strategies to separate the left from the right, the straight from the gays, the religious from the non-religious. You know all the false narratives they have out there. And I do think their biggest false narrative, this invisible enemy, the China virus and its nefarious variants, I think it may be falling apart. Did you hear what happened this week? 2 senior top FDA officials resign over disagreement with the Biden White House, the regime, on the COVID booster shots. So these 2 FDA officials resigned after the White House basically hijacked all of the scientific procedures in place. Marion Gruber, she's the director of the agency's Office of Vaccine Research and Review, and her deputy director, Phil Cruz, will be leaving in October and November, respectively, according to a statement from CNBC. These 2 FDA officials are upset because the CDC and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices started making decisions about the boosters that are the responsibility of the FDA. So basically what happened is the administration, the regime, has circumvented all of the checks and procedures. And they did this too with the quote-unquote FDA approval of the Pfizer jab. We covered some of that last week. They didn't call in their advisory committee. These are a group of physicians, experts on immunology, virology, vaccines, that typically have a group of patients they study, you know, anywhere from several hundred to maybe 1,000. And these advisors get together before an approval and share their findings. Well, that was circumvented. And these pro-vax doctors are upset. They're as mad as hell. They're not going to take it anymore. So here we have another example. Two FDA officials angry, resigning because of this decision to circumvent protocol. And then did you hear about this insanity? The judge who revoked a mother's custody of her son for refusing the COVID jab? What's going on in this world? This 39-year-old healthy mother was ordered by an Illinois judge to surrender her child because she refused the COVID jab on August 10th. Now, she responded by saying that she had a system that can't handle vaccination. She was respectful. She wasn't some anti-vaxxer in all these protests. She's just a woman who had very serious side effects from flu shots. And upon the advice of her doctor, she wasn't going to get this jab because she was concerned with all the side effects. Now, this Cook County judge, James Shapiro, boy, Shapiro's an interesting name. That's the last name of our attorney general here in Pennsylvania. And prior to November 3rd last fall, on an interview, he basically said when all the ballots are counted, Trump will lose. Notice he didn't say all the legal ballots. Shapiro said all the ballots. Well, back to this story here. So Judge James Shapiro, and I don't know if there is a relationship or not, basically took this woman's son from her. And according to Annette Fernholz, child's dad didn't even bring this up in the custody hearing. So this judge is some kind of activist. He's not sitting there doing what he should be doing. Now get this, just in. Judge Shapiro recused himself from the case on Tuesday after the public backlash. I believe this is what we need to be doing all around the country. When you hear these kind of atrocities, call these people who are committing them. Send letters, send emails, phone calls. You know, folks, we the people do have power. But now it's time to move on. It's time for our Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform for 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slant or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
You know, there's a lot of strange things going on. This exit from Afghanistan, yes, it was the right thing to do, but it was done in a completely inappropriate method. And I think there was something more than just malfeasance, something more than incompetence at play here. Do you know where all that military equipment is ending up? The Taliban's giving it to Iran. This was from the Geller Report. Folks, this was a planned event, in my opinion. A planned event by Obama, who's directing Biden from his basement, Playa Iran, the country that he sent billions of dollars to, a country who has vowed to kill Americans and wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They now have they have more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia does. They're the 27th largest air force in the world now, the Taliban. So these swamp creatures from D.C. are treasonous, folks. Barry Satoro's lurking in the shadows, in the basement, pulling the strings. This is total Obama subterfuge. It truly is, folks. It's crazy out there, surreal. Let me just read you a few headlines. So, thinking, how am I going to do this today? Let's refresh this. There's a volcanic eruption and in a glacier up in Iceland, and it's triggering sudden flooding. We have stories of the flooding, the hurricanes, the wildfires. You know, there's all sorts of natural calamities all over the world. How about the shortage of grocery supplies? Oh, and by the way, shortages, folks, buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be getting worse. And then how about the fact that confidence in the economy is collapsing all over the place? Consumer confidence at the lowest it's ever been. And then we have FBI agents investigating child sex crimes now being charged as child sex offenders. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. How about America having a mentally incompetent world leader? You know, the imposter in chief, Biden. Did you see that one clip? He wandered off after a presser. Just got lost. The guy is confused. There's food shortages, critical supply chain shortages, shipping costs that are astronomical, folks. You're probably going to see it when you go Christmas shopping later this fall into the winter. And you're going to be appalled by the pricing. Folks, we used to pay $3,000 a container to ship 42,000 pounds of marbles over from China. $3,000. We are now paying $25,000 a container, and it's not sustainable, folks. You know, there's all kinds of crazy things out there. Here's an article. The goal of COVIDism is communism. During Marxist takeovers, the government is replaced by whatever political party assumes power. Don't be surprised if another false flag occurs within the next few days, or maybe even on September 11th. There's an article out by Laura Logan. Americans are so ashamed by what's happened in Afghanistan. And how about this? Fauci again. Hey, and by the way, did you notice that Bill Gates is nowhere to be seen anymore? He's out of the news. But we got Fauci out there, one of his parrots, suggesting Americans that will need a triple jab to be considered fully vaccinated. And then how about all the news out of Israel right now with what's happening with their COVID scam? You know, they're the ultra-vax show place of the world. I think they have the highest vaccination rate anywhere in the world. And right now they have the highest COVID case rate in the world. And then Sweden has just announced they're banning travelers from Israel. You can't make this up. Judy Miskovits, who's gotten so much bad press lately, she boldly declares that Fauci has been behind every pandemic since 1984. And then try to go out and buy a car right now, folks. You know, car sales are down by 33%, not because people don't want them, but because they can't get the computer chips. General Motors is shutting down most of their plants this week. And Ford also announced shutdowns. This is getting serious. And then did you hear the State Department's blocking Americans from leaving Afghanistan? Weather wars, folks. You know, tell somebody that weather's controlled and they'll look at you like you grow a third eye right out of your forehead. But it's true. Just go out there and research it. And we've covered all that on these shows, too. It's crazy. And I'll leave it at that, folks. It truly is crazy. There was another story. I'm trying to remember exactly the details, but it centered around some of this vaccine madness that's out there. And apparently there's a report out right now. And I want to get this right, but one doctor has been treating about 1,200 vaccine patients who are having all kinds of issues, and he's been doing this D-dimer test. And he said that 70% of the patients that he's run the D-dimer test on have come back positive. Now, if you don't know what the D-dimer test is, D-dimer test is a test that can determine whether or not your system, your circulatory system, is clotting. So 70% of the vaccinated people coming to his office with symptoms when tested for the D-dimer have been determined to be clotting, microclotting. Folks, this is serious. It affects certain critical organs like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver. This is very serious.
Gosh. Gosh.
Yepers, Gomer, it's not normal. But now it's time to move on to our newest segment, which is Coop Talk. Boy, that's a tongue twister. Coop Talk with Henrietta. Now we have to get her in here. Come on, Henrietta. Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay, and this week, folks, we're going to talk about something that most people probably never think about. We're going to talk about growing potatoes.
What?
Yeah, Paul, potatoes. Now, why would I bring up potatoes? Well, I mentioned the food shortages, okay? And if you think back, the Scots during the regime that they dealt with, the tyrannical regime of King George, where they were trying to bring the Scots under their control, the Scots survived a famine, potatoes. Isn't that interesting? So potatoes are very nutritious. They taste good. Come on, who doesn't love a French fry? Mashed potatoes, baked potato, scalloped potatoes. They're easy to grow. They're a starchy tuber, good source of all sorts of nutrients, potassium, fiber, protein, vitamin C, B6, iron. I'm telling you, you could survive if you had to eating potatoes. Plus, they store well, and they're easy to grow. So what I'd like to do now for the next few minutes is just talk about how you grow potatoes. Well, it's not difficult. They like acidic soil, so that's very good here where I live because our soil is on the acidic side. They need lots of sun and water, but they like to grow in a cooler period of the year. So if you live in the south, you want to grow them in the wintertime. But they won't start growing until the temperature reaches about 45 degrees. But you can plant them before that. They'll just sit there underground waiting. So you want to pick a sunny location, grow in the cooler weather, and they'll grow directly in the ground, or you can put them up in raised beds. In fact, you can even grow them in pots. They have these special cloth pots now where they have these little like pouches on the side you open up, and you can check your potato growth. Now, the type of soil they like I said, is acidic, but it has to be loose, loamy. So you may have to amend your soil. You want a pH between about 5 and 7, and you can increase that acidity by using a composted manure or some compost, and then you don't have to put any lime in it. A high potash fertilizer will do the same thing. You want to till that soil up, break it up, make sure it's nice and loose for the potatoes. And you want to plant them in rows, okay? And the way you do it is you don't use seeds. You use what are called seed potatoes. And those are potatoes that have started to sprout. You know, when they get the little roots, they call them eyes. Well, what you want to do is find some good small potatoes, healthy, good, solid, not rotten ones. You want to lay your potatoes out, give them some light. Keep them between about 60 and 70 degrees and let the light start to sprout. Now, if they're larger than a golf ball or a chicken egg, you can cut them up until they're about that size. Just make sure that each piece you cut up has at least two of those eyes on it. Now, you can grow any variety of potato you like, but make sure you use spray-free potatoes. Now, a potato that's been sprayed has been sprayed with what's known as a growth inhibitor, and it's going to prevent that potato from sprouting, and you won't be able to grow a plant from it. So just dig these straight rows in the soil, plant them about 4 inches deep, and just space them out, you know, in rows about 3 feet apart. Give them about 12 inches between each seed potato, and then cover them with about 4 inches of soil. Water them. Keep the soil moist. They need about 2 inches of water a week. And stop watering once they start to turn yellow and die back. That means you're almost at harvest. And then as the plant grows, you want to do what's called hilling. And they have a special attachment if you're doing this in a field. It'll actually roll the soil up to the base of the plant. And you do that several times. And what it does is it supports the plant as they grow, and it gives it room for the potatoes underground. You want to avoid any surface or potatoes near the surface from getting sunlight exposure, because they'll start to turn green and they develop a toxic chemical called solanine. And that green layer on the outside of the potato, you can't eat it, folks. Make sure you weed and look out for pests. If you do get pests, you want to use neem oil. It works very well. And pick some disease-resistant types of potatoes like the King Edward, the Winston, the Agria. Those are all good ones to grow. And then they are also subject to blight, so you want to do crop rotation. and avoid overcrowding. Give them plenty of space. And make sure you keep that pH low. Otherwise, you can get another disease known as scab. Looks like these lesions on the potatoes. You've probably seen that before. So they develop that if the pH is too high. And then you want to manage the pests. Make sure you manage the pests, like I said. And neem oil is very good. It's safe. It also is an antifungal. So they'll take about 10 weeks, and they'll start to flower. And then when the flowering stops, give it another 2 weeks or so, and you're ready to harvest. Now, once you harvest, you want to let them dry out in a cool, dry place, like in your garage or on a covered porch. Keep it cool, dry, shaded, and well ventilated. Let them dry for about 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 weeks. And that's called curing the potato. And what that does is it lets the skin dry out a little bit and mature. And it'll help the potato keep longer. Now, the ideal temperature to store the potato is about 45 to 60 degrees. And you can also eat some. And those are called new potatoes. And you should eat them a few days after harvest. Don't cure that potato. Just eat them. And before you store your cured potatoes, make sure you brush them off. Brush the dirt off. But don't use water because that'll cause them to spoil. Just dry brush them, but never wash. And finally, when you store them, you can put them in burlap sacks, paper bags, but make sure you keep them in a temperature somewhere between 35 to 40 degrees. And you can keep them for several months. In fact, if you have a very good storage area and you do everything properly, you can get through the entire season. So there you have it. You can be a potato farmer too, folks, and stave off famine, even in the worst times. But now it's time for the hopium report. And, you know, folks, there's a lot of hopium out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on hopium.
So, we've got all sorts of news out there this week that I could have put into this report. But what I figured I'd do is I'd just give an election 2020 an election audit update. What's so funny, everybody? Why are you all laughing? There are people out there that still think that President Trump is going to be reinstated. Now, you know, I supported President Trump. I like the direction this country was headed, but now you know, folks, I'm thinking he's controlled opposition. But I just want to read some headlines to you. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is a quote from her. Momentum is growing for audit of Georgia election results. The biggest roadblock is our Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, you know, the China lover. I would hope that Brad Raffensperger would find some integrity and backbone. So that's one article. Here's another one. Lost ballots in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Nevada exceed Biden's victory margins. Maricopa County alone has admitted that they sent 110,000 mail-in or absentee ballots to what turned out to be wrong addresses. Here's another one. Investigators, True the Vote, have a video. And in this video, 242 traffickers in Georgia and 202 ballot traffickers in Arizona commit late-night illegal ballot drops. So this video shows all these people just dropping these big bundles of fake ballots into these video drop-off boxes. Here's another one. More individuals and counties calling for forensic audit in Wisconsin. How about this one? Breaking. They got caught. Investigators have a video of 240 leftist operators in Georgia dumping thousands of ballots from backpacks into drop boxes in the middle of the night. Folks, this stuff's all happening. I think it's legitimate, but it's a diversion, folks, as they tighten the chains around our legs and shackle us for their prison system. Here's another one, breaking. Pennsylvania Senator Cormann calls for hearings next week on election fraud in the Keystone State. You know, I've had it so much. I've contacted my Republican Senator, Joe Pittman. Joe, I know you're probably not listening, but Joe, you disappointed me. You didn't even respond to me, Joe. And listen to this article. It's long past time to start a forensic audit in Pennsylvania. President Trump was up by hundreds of thousands of votes on election night. And he was, folks, in my little county of Bethel Township. my little, I should say, county of Armstrong, and I live in Bethel Township. I looked at Real Clear Politics before I went to bed that night, and we had, I forget what the vote total was for President Trump, but when I woke up the next morning, 20,000 votes were missing, gone from my little county. Now, there's only 70,000 people in my entire county, and we all don't vote. This was huge. So when I contacted my election officials, they said, oh, you have to take this up with your legislatures, your legislators. And I did. No response from Joe Pittman. Imagine that. But I'm telling you, folks, this is all just hopeful drivel. We, the people, need to stand up and say no more. But now, folks, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So Fox News reports this week that a California teacher was boasting about not having an American flag in her classroom, so she tells her students to pledge allegiance to the gay pride flag, you know, the rainbow flag. So the school district in California is investigating a teacher who posted a video urging her students to pledge allegiance to the gay pride flag. Boy, that's a tongue twister. Say that fast three times. Gay pride flag, forget it. Anyways, listen to this clip and just listen to the smug tone in this woman's voice. Just listen to it, 59 seconds.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he, like, looks around and he goes, oh, that one?
This is what's teaching our students. No wonder we have the problems we did. And there's the Antifa teacher. Did you hear about that one? Or how about the one who's out and out commie? Pictures of Mao on his wall. So what's the big deal about all this? Why do I bring this up? Why am I always harping on education? Well, that military beach we listened to earlier, that's the big deal. She is a product of this sort of ideology, this stinking thinking. And I want to just play the last 26 seconds of that clip again to remind you what she did.
Understand that if active duty military actually get deployed within the United States, that weapon is not just pointed at other people, other countries. It's pointed at you. If you do not get in your house when I tell you to, you become the enemy. Martial law, you know, where your rights get curtailed. You don't have all those same freedoms that the Constitution guarantees at that point. So be careful what you wish for and stop opining about things you don't understand. Okay, bye.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that? It's sad, folks. But now it's time to move on. It's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, when I was a young professional at PPG back in the late 80s, early 90s, just starting my career, fresh out of graduate school, I latched onto the cartoonist Scott Adams, and who doesn't love his Dilbert cartoon? Folks, I survived on it while I was at PPG because the craziness that he depicted in that cartoon series, it was reality for me. I was living it. You know, those little cubicle comments, all that fun stuff you have in office life. I lived it. But get this, old Scott had to jump in with his two cents on what Naomi Wolf said on that Tucker Carlson clip that I played earlier. I actually played it this week and last week. Now, I'm a little bit behind, and that's rare for us here at SDG with Sister Kathy and some of the other people sending me clips and all the information we have. We're usually out there way before. I don't know how we missed this. But here's Scott Adams commenting on Naomi Wolf's slippery slope argument about the vaccine passport. And he basically says they can misuse any system. And he goes on to argue these really crazy things. I'm going to just give you a few. And here's what he says. And he has a podcast. It's called Coffee with Scott Adams. And you can go out there and listen to this. But anyways, he says, yes, it definitely discriminates against the freedom of those who don't want to get vaccinated. But isn't that true of a driver's license, getting a loan? People who don't have tax returns can't get a loan. True of travel? You can't travel without a passport. Adams says it discriminates against your freedom, but that's not the reason not to have it. We do that all the time. All of civilization is built on restricting your freedom. That's what it is. You don't build a civilization to give people freedom, but it's designed to be a wise restriction. This is just another one of them. Now, I can go on, but you can listen to it. He finishes by saying, folks, Hitler is not under the bed. Now, Scotty's entire argument is just chock full of logical fallacies, and I'd love to pick them apart one at a time, and maybe we'll do that. But I just don't have the time today. So, folks, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. And then we apply it to today's freaky deaky news headlines. So the year, folks, is 1991. And I'm a three-year rookie at my new job at the PPG Fiberglass Research Center in O'Hara Township. And we lived about 40 miles away. So I did have a long commute twice a day. And so I got into listening to all sorts of cassette self-help, how to do. I was a member of the Learning, the Learning Center? I think I might have some here. Anyways, I listened to so many tapes, and I got into listening to the Hour of the Time shows to and from work. And just imagine this, folks. Imagine this. So I pop a tape in, okay, and this is what I hear. This is about 5 minutes, but it's well worth the listen. Oh, and by the way, folks, I saw some of you drop off before I got into all of this because I guess Coop Talk with Henrietta isn't very popular, so I'm going to have to reevaluate that. But if I could get your feedback on that, please send in information. Let me know what you like and what you don't like, but I don't want to see people drop off, and unfortunately I did, and they're going to miss all these good things here. But just imagine this. So I'm driving to or from work, and I don't remember the specifics, but I popped this episode of the Hour of the Time in, and here's what Bill Cooper's playing.
Psychological warfare has been waged against America for much of this century. This war for the mind of the public has been facilitated by the emergence of mass media and the transformation of American education by behavioral psychologists. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their human qualities and freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation. Mind control.
Mind control in America.
The most effective way to protect yourself from subconscious manipulation is by being aware of how it works. What the conscious mind believes, the subconscious acts on. It works like programming a computer. Information is fed into a computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if the information fed into the computer is wrong, it still acts on it. If a person believes something that is not true, the memory banks of the subconscious mind do not correct the error, but act on it. The theory of cognitive dissonance holds that the mind automatically and involuntarily rejects information not in line with previously accepted thoughts and beliefs. Many of the things that people believe are never questioned, especially when the information has come from a reliable source. It becomes easy to lose sight of why people believe some of the things that they do.
Und der Führer, Adolf Hitler, sich, sich, sich.
People can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed and presented by an accepted and respected authority. The purpose of propaganda is to direct public attention to certain facts.
The whole art consists in doing this so skillfully that everyone will be convinced that the fact is real,
wrote Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. To be effective, propaganda must constantly short-circuit all conscious thinking and operate on the individual subconsciously. The principles behind the big lie of propaganda are the same principles of mind control, hypnotic suggestion, mental programming, distraction, and repetition. Distraction focuses the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses in order to stop conscious thinking, thus producing a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Think of the times you have caught yourself staring blankly at the television screen, losing all sense of time and place. When you stop conscious thinking and your mind goes blank, this is the hypnotic state of mind. This altered state occurs naturally, but can also be induced by clever manipulation. Think of the times you have seen flashing words in TV commercials. The flashing words are a distraction for your eyes to lock onto in order to induce hypnosis. The purpose of this is to reduce any resistance to the message by stopping all thought and analysis. Watching television often produces an altered state of consciousness. Though not consciously perceived, the television screen, while appearing static, actually flickers. Any repeating light or sound pattern can lead you into an altered state. A hypnotist uses pattern speech by varying the pacing and inflection of his voice to induce this state of mind in his subject. It is in this state of mind where one is the most receptive to mental programming. Whether or not the information takes hold in the mind depends on two factors: trust in the source of the information and repetition of the message. Trust in the source of the information induces acceptance of the message as true even if it is not understood. Repetition of the message embeds it in the subconscious so that acceptance of its truth and accuracy becomes a conditioned response. Thus, this information will be accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again.
So what do you think about that, guys? Anyone? Alvin? Paul? Anyone? Gomer?
Shazam!
The truth is, folks, the truth is that people can be led to believe something that isn't true. Just like Stephen Jacobson said there, if it's presented by a respected authority. Now, who comes to mind? The fraud Fauci, of course. And you remember that one comment he made? Fauci is science and science is truth. Listen to
and
this.
And attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes
liar.
Those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was
liar.
Pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about.
Attacks on me are attacks on science. Folks, we are living, as Jacobson said, in a virtual reality where deception has become an integral part of the framework of our society. You know, the audio that I just played a clip from, Mind Control in America, is one of two that Stephen Jacobson produced. They've become classics. They've been around for 30 years. The other is Wake Up America. So I would recommend you go to Mind Control in America. Oh, and you want to see a little bit more of this control? So you do it with a Google search. Type in Mind Control in America. I called it up on my screen here. The first hit is an NPR.org article, The CIA's Secret Quest for Mind Control, Torture, LSD, and... Next one is a Wikipedia article on Project MKUltra. The third is The True Story of Brainwashing and How It Shaped America. And that's from Smithsonian Magazine. The next one is a History.com, CIA's Appalling Human Experiments. You have to scroll all the way down to an Amazon.com one, Mind Control in the United States, paperback by Stephen Jacobson. So let's do that same search over on DuckDuckGo. Oh, wouldn't you know it? The first hit is mindcontrolinamerica.com. It's Stephen Jacobson's website. And it's very detailed. You don't think that's a little bit of deliberate control, folks? Apply this. Let's apply this to today. Let's apply this to this freaky deaky world we're living in. And what do I have to say? Three words. Corona virus heist. Need I say more? Folks, we are living in a Disney world. A virtual reality where deception has become an integral part of the framework of society. And what I'd like to do right now is play another clip from the Catherine Austin Fitz interview with the High Wire from back, I think, on the week of August 28th, somewhere earlier in that week. This is a two-minute clip where she basically talks about this virtual reality. Listen to what Catherine Austin Fitz has to say to Dale Bigtree at the High Wire.
Health, you know, for years, so I don't need to tell you.
Here's where
but
I'm confused.
But the reality is...
Well, go ahead, finish the reality, then I'll tell you what I'm confused about.
We're bringing down life expectancy, and it's engineered.
So, just to be clear, this $21 trillion or so that is suddenly missing, it was once there, right? It's not that these retirement programs and pensions didn't have funding in the banks. What you're saying is essentially it's been stolen. Why would someone steal that? Why would you put yourself in that? Is it
why not?
Truly... Okay.
But if so, you know, so it's a whole other conversation to talk about the growth of the national security state.
Mm-hmm.
Because starting in 47 and 49, we started to build what's called a black budget and a national security state that was secret. And part of that development meant that one part of our society started developing very powerful technology behind walls of secrecy that made fantastic amounts of money and really began to build literally a separate civilization. So, for example, when I worked in Washington or I worked in Wall Street, you would literally go back and forth between the official reality and reality. And official reality with those walls of secrecy increasingly became like Disney World. You know, so if you go to Disneyland, Del, I don't know if you've ever been underground, but, you know, there's this world underground that's sort of engineering everything, and then you have Disney World above. And increasingly, when you worked at the top of Wall Street or the top of Washington, you would have to go back between Disney World and the real world, and the worlds have gotten separate further and further apart. And one of the reasons they've got further and further apart is we have a federal budget that's been financing both worlds. And the secret world has been getting more and more powerful, more and more expensive. And now what we're watching with COVID-19 is they're breaking back in. I mean, they're basically coming in and saying, okay, we're not going to explain anymore. We're not going to keep this wonderful Disney World going. We're just going to take control, and now you're going to do what we say.
And that's about it, folks. They expect us to do what they say. But like I said, civil disobedience. Study Gandhi and say no. How about those truckers in Australia shutting the country down? They've had enough. They're as mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. That's what we need to do. So which is it, folks? Which are you going to choose to live by? Faith or fear? Folks, these are crazy times, and the question that each and every one of us must answer is, how shall we live? By fear or by faith? Remember, this fear is nothing but false evidence about reality. And remember, fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. And these Luciferians, they know that. That's the menticide that we covered in the mass psychosis clip. They use fear to create this mass psychosis. They use fear and isolation on the individual to brainwash them. And praise the Lord, folks. The truth I'm going to share with you next is real. The kingdom of God is always advancing. The gates of hell shall never prevail. Now, as believers, his plan is always at work in your life and mine by grace through hope and faith. And this is happening right now in the lives of believers all around the world. But there is something that can stop the advance of the kingdom when we allow fear to creep in. Fear quenches both our personal spiritual growth and the kingdom advance that is happening corporately through the body of Christ. But as long as we walk in faith and not by fear, the kingdom of God will continue to advance even in the midst of this insanity. Now, Jesus is our way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, and light in the darkness. I love that song, folks. Yet fear is to faith what kryptonite is to Superman. This false evidence about reality, also known as fear, is a true spirit quencher. Such a common problem that God has given us about 365 verses in the Bible specifically dealing with fear. So there's one a day. Dealing with fear, folks. If this whole COVID scamdemic has you locked in the grip of fear, just take a concordance, do a search if you have an electronic Bible, call up all those verses on fear, and just take one a day, like your vitamins, you know. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Praise the Lord. And then God talked to Joshua about fear over in Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, where the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee." And then Joshua, empowered by that truth, that life-giving truth from the very mouth of God, turns around and says essentially the same thing to his people. In verse 25, Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do all your enemies against whom ye fight." And God used the writer of Hebrews to tell us the anecdote to fear. And this is found in chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter of the book of Hebrews. Oh, and by the way, a shout out to Pastor Todd, my pastor, in some of my notes from his message last week. I was putting this together on fear and wanted to talk about the mass psychosis and the mind control in America. And how cool is this? This is exactly what he's talking about. So praise the Lord, I wanted to share it with you, but this came from his message last week at church. So I had my outline for the message together, and I was putting my show notes together. I start that Saturday after the show, and I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you from my past, and it was the mind control in America and the whole fear element. And that's what Pastor Todd's talking about. So praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit does move through the body, and we're all fitly joined. So let's read that first verse out of my favorite translation, the King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, there's some other renderings that have slightly different expressions. The New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The English Standard Version says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the New American Standard Bible says, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for and the proof of things not seen. So faith and hope, they always go together. Faith is the substance, reality, or certainty of what we hope for, and the evidence or the conviction or the proof of something we cannot see with our physical eyes. Now, as believers, we always ought to be looking forward to the future with a certainty or a conviction. And this dynamic duo of faith and hope, that enables us to see what God's doing in the future, even when the circumstances all around us may say otherwise. Now, when fear is allowed to creep in, hope's lost, and we turn from confidence and conviction to despair. And that's what the enemy's using right now with this whole scandemic. See how this applies. And let's use the story of Jesus calming the raging seas that's found in Luke chapter 8. And if you remember this story, his disciples had a meltdown on the boat in the middle of the lake. They lost it, and they feared for their lives as Jesus slept like a baby. So let's get into this. It starts in Luke chapter 8 around verse 22. We're just going to go through some of this. So let's look at the story. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he, that's Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. So Jesus had a plan, a vision, and they launched forth. And then in verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So picture this. There they were, somewhere out on the lake, away from the safety of the shore, when the winds whipped up. And not only was the water whipped up, but so was their fear. And then in verse 24 it reads, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. So picture them. His disciples were drenched, hopeless, full of fear and despair. Yet Jesus, he was asleep and fearless, sleeping like a baby. So he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging water, and it all stopped. And there was a calm. And then listen to what Jesus asks them in verse 25. As he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So what's this have to do with you and me, here and now, in this crazy world? In the midst of this great reset, the scandemic, the economic collapse, the social unrest, the total corruption in government, what's that have to do with you and me? Well, picture the boat as your life as a believer, with Jesus present, with Jesus right there beside you in the boat. And picture the lake as the world, and the storm is the bad stuff that's hitting us left and right from all directions right now, from the scandemic to the isolation and the lockdowns to the stolen election, to the crumbling economy and the talk of mandatory vaccines and COVID passports. You get the picture. Now this garbage going on over in Afghanistan, all driving the world to this great reset and global plantation where you and me live as serfs with a handful of feudal lords controlling it all. Now, we've all had to face these collective fears over the last 18 months or so, along with our personal storms. You know, we are still dealing with, you know, financial upsets, maybe you lost your job, or maybe your loved one was diagnosed with cancer, or maybe you lost your parent or your spouse or your child. So in the midst of this collective fear that we're all struggling with, we have our personal storms. But praise the Lord, he's there in the midst of it all. Even if we don't see it, he's working. Even if we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. That's from that song, folks. I love it. So just remember, at any time in the midst of a storm, when you think there's no hope, you can call upon the Lord. And he'll hear you when you're afraid, when you're desperate, when you're at wit's end. Call upon the Lord and he'll hear you. And think about this. His disciples, they had no faith, yet he saved them anyways. Remember, Jesus asked them, where's your faith? He didn't say, well, no faith, too bad, guys. You didn't have enough faith, we're all going to drown. No, no, no. The point is that our faith doesn't calm the storm. The Lord Jesus Christ does, amen? And that's because he's our way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, our God. That is who you are. Praise the Lord. So our faith isn't in our faith. Our faith is in the Lord. Now, don't worry. God's already factored what I'll call the stupidity factor of human. Remember, we're like sheep. We're stubborn, stupid, and selfish. But he's already factored that into his plans for your life and mine. So when we operate out of fear, just like the apostles on that boat with Jesus in the middle of the storm, with no faith, in fact, if they did have any faith, it wasn't in Jesus. They had placed their faith in the storm. They had placed their faith in fear, just like many of us are doing right now in the midst of this big, great reset. We're not looking upon Jesus. So where is your faith right now? Are you operating in faith? Or are you operating in fear? And if you think you're operating in faith, what's the object of your faith? Now, our lack of faith or our misdirected faith can be caused by many factors. For example, we sometimes say, well, I'm just not worthy. Well, no one is, but we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord looks upon you. He doesn't see you. When the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees the white robe of righteousness. He sees his son, Jesus. Or oftentimes we fear that we're going to fail. Well, of course we're going to fail. We're mortals, but we're to strive. We're in the process of sanctification. Others fear that God's mad at them. But no, Jesus is ever interceding on our behalf. He's the advocate. He's coming before the Father, and he said, Father, this one's with me. It's okay. And he'll put your arm around you, and he'll bring you in. He's always, always interceding on our behalf. And another fear, as Pastor Todd shared last week, is FOMO, fear of missing out. So we think, oh, I'm going to follow the Lord and all my fun's going to be gone. No. When the Lord tells you to do something, he's saying, be blessed. And when he says, don't do this or don't do that, he's saying, hey, I don't want you doing that because I don't want you getting hurt. Another fear is the fear of being canceled out, the fear of losing friends if you stand up for what's right. But as believers, we ought to always be doing what's right. And remember that we're not fighting for a victory. We are already fighting in victory through Jesus. He's overcome the world. Yet sadly, many believers forget that truth. They fear things are just getting worse and worse and worse. And you know what? They are. But then what they choose to do, if they choose to keep their sights fixed on all this bad stuff, the storms and the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, you know what I'm saying? Rather than keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus. So what happens is their hope is quenched, their hope is stolen, and fear and despair replace faith and hope. And that's the reality of these end times, folks. That's what's happened. You know, Jesus talked about, will there be any faith left if I don't return soon? No, it is a doctrine of the church that we are in the end times. We talked about that over the last couple of weeks. These are the end times. In fact, it was the end times back when St. John wrote his epistle. We are living in the end times. Jesus could come back at any moment, folks. But what most people are doing, Christians and unbelievers alike, is they're not fixed on God. They don't have their sights fixed on God. They're not living like that vine clinging, that branch clinging to the vine. No. They're looking at the circumstances around them instead of trusting in Jesus. So what's your fear in life right now? We all have them. I do. You do. Well, call them out. Write them down. List them. You know, circumstances are just part of the story. Just as it was for the disciples on that boat in the middle of the lake with Jesus on that stormy, stormy day. So they got in the boat and the storm came. But that's only part of the story. Who was on the boat with them? Jesus was on the boat with them. But they didn't put their eyes on Jesus. They looked out to the storm. They had their sights fixed on the wrong object. Their sights should have been fixed on Jesus instead of the storm. But that's our nature, folks. We tend to get distracted. Now, that's just human nature because we are fixed in time. We are finite beings, but God isn't. So he can see beyond all this. He already has steps 7, 8, and 9 planned out, even though you're only on step 2 and 3. So, folks, I'm telling you, when you can't see a solution out, when you're all fixed in fear and you're just, you know, overwhelmed with despair, just remember, God has a solution, and he's working, even when we don't see him working, even when we don't feel him working. He never stops working. Folks, this faith that I'm talking about, it's not a force you wield. It's a relationship you trust in. Now, they didn't calm the storm. Their faith didn't calm the storm. Jesus calmed the storm. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that's what the enemy's doing right now. That's what the media's doing with this whole COVID scam. They're just pumping you every day with fear. The Delta variant, the Lambda variant, the Mu variant. Oh, you got to get a third shot. Oh, you got to get a fourth shot. Oh, we're going to have shots every... Folks, I'm telling you right now, if you look at the numbers, the reality, yes, some people have died, but it's not anywhere near as bad as any of the past true pandemics this world has ever seen. It's a blip on the radar screen. So if you've feared and faltered in your faith walk during this whole scandemic, just remind yourself, God is there for you through the person Jesus Christ. Even if we don't see him, he's working. Even when we don't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. Just like this song says, true evidence to conquer fear is found in 3 places. First, in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. So pull out your Bibles, folks. Dust them off, okay? Get a good reference Bible. The Thompson Chain Reference Bible is a good one. But just have a good study Bible. And Pastor Todd said last week, the reason or the way you know that it's a good Bible is if it weighs about 10 pounds. But the point is, get into your Bibles and study the Bible. And then the second way that you're going to conquer fear is through the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I must go, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Teacher, and he leads you unto all truth. So as you open your Bible, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you see truth, to help you understand truth, to help you be able to discern these things they're using to manipulate us, like I covered in the earlier parts of this message. And then, finally, there's the body. And that's the body of Christ, his bride, the church. Forsake not the fellowship of the brethren until he returns. Folks, if you take one little coal out of a hibachi grill or out of a charcoal grill, and you set it off to the side, what happens to that one little coal, that ember that's burning? It starts to wither and die. That's the same thing with you and me as believers, folks. We need to stay together. Then we won't lose faith and hope as long as we abide in Jesus. So the Word, the Spirit, and the people of God will keep us in faith and hope and keep us in despair. Folks, I love y'all. And in the words of Winston Churchill, remember, as you go out there this week and share this truth with we the people and wake the American public up, never give in, never give in, never give in.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
I'm going to do something a little different this week, folks. We usually play Jeremy Camp, the same spirit. But this week, I want to play the song that we played last week at worship. Our worship leader, Pastor Jim, led us in this song, and it's been on my mind all week. And as I was building this message about how fear is used by the Luciferians, this song was so relevant, so real. This is Waymaker. So let's lift our hands up and praise the Lord.